Thank you, everyone, for making my day easier. Father, we come in the powerful name of Jesus Christ as we take a moment to finish hearing what you've already started through this whole service. You are ministering to people. You are touching hearts. I thank you for the testimony this morning. God, that you never give up on us. And when we're weak, you don't throw us away. But God, you continue to move and minister and empower and equip. And I'm praying that, God, there's victory here for all of us. That this community won't be the same because we're here. Our faith would minister not only to ourselves, but be seen by those that are in contact with us. May the power of Christ and the strength of Christ minister to each and every one of us. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. If you would turn with me to Acts chapter 2, and if you'd allow me just a few minutes. We've been in the study of Toolbox of Faith, and we've looked at faith, and we saw what it takes to increase our faith. We saw what it takes to live out our faith. And this morning, I'm not even going to pretend that in the toolbox would be the Holy Spirit of God. But I would encourage you this morning that one of the tools that God gives us is for the Holy Spirit to be able to walk in our lives. Every step of the way, every part of our lives. I'm not talking about a tool that you would pick up. I'm talking about a person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit working in our lives every step of the way, in every situation, giving us the strength that we need, giving us the ability and direction that we need. And I think sometimes we think that when we come to Christ and we have our salvation, that we've accomplished all. But really, as a believer, it is just the beginning. Can you say amen to that? It's just the beginning because he wants to empower us. He wants us to walk with him. He wants us not to do things on our own and in our own strength. And kind of let me set up this text this morning. For 40 days, Jesus, after the resurrection, went around telling people about the kingdom of God, went around sharing his resurrection, presented himself to all the doubters, to all of those that were not sure what was going on. He presented himself. He said to them, "Come together, and I will give you strength. Come together and don't leave until it happens. Don't come together and you've heard about my Holy Spirit. Come together and see it. You've seen certain men anointed by the Holy Spirit, but now I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to be empowered by the Holy Spirit." And he says, when it does happen, he, the Holy Spirit, will come and empower you and change your life forever. You know what the problem with the church of today is? We're running around in our own strength. I can't imagine going through the things that we're going through as a church and in individual families. And I'll admit, sometimes I feel like a boulder has been rolled on top of me. But I cannot imagine going through these things without Jesus Christ in my life. I just can't imagine. And it makes me pray harder for those that don't know Christ, because I cannot imagine the boulder that's on them without Jesus picking it up and taking some of it from us. So if you would turn to Acts chapter 2, I'd like to read the first 12 verses there. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were in one accord and in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or other language as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one had heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all of these who speak Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native tongue? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean?" Pentecost, 50 days. 50 days after the resurrection, we see God is telling them to wait. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes and accomplishes what he said would happen. The Spirit of God fills the room. Then the Spirit of God fills them to overflowing, and they begin to speak in other languages. All these different nationalities were hearing their own native tongue. They admitted that they were amazed, and they were perplexed, and they were confused, and they asked the question, what does this mean? I would go as far to say as a believer, what's next? Would you say amen to that? You can say, you know, what does this mean? But really, what's next? What does he expect? And if you look back in chapter 1, you see that they received power from God. They were used by God. God showed up, and they began to be witnesses in all the world. They had to experience the Holy Spirit working in their lives, and they were to be witnesses to those that they had come in contact with. They were to spread the gospel. They had a mission and a purpose. Here's what sometimes I think we really miss is Jesus Christ came in the flesh, incarnation. Jesus died and was crucified and lived a sinless life. And then Jesus was resurrected, and we want to stop there because that's where our salvation lies. We want to stop there, but Jesus ascended to the Father so that the Holy Spirit could come to the earth and minister to God's people and empower them to live the lives that God intended. Like I said before, I don't know how others do it. How do you do things in your own strength because you're limited? How do you go through things that are uncontrollable and that you don't have a part of? You need the Lord. You need the power of God working in your life. And I think when we think of Pentecost, we automatically think of Pentecostals. And when we think of Pentecostals, we think of a few denominations that have prided themselves on fullness of the Spirit. Well, I want to tell you that no denomination has a right to Pentecost. No denomination has a right to the filling of the Spirit. And I come from a Pentecostal background. So when I say that, I love my brothers and sisters that are Pentecostals, but they do not. No denomination owns what God wanted to do in people's lives. I consider myself charismatic. I consider myself a Nazarene, and I'm proud to be a Nazarene in the doctrine of the Nazarene. And the fullness of the Spirit is available to all. That's what my Bible tells me. Is available to all that would come and ask him to be filled and allowing him to do what he needs to do in our lives. And as those that were in that upper room waited for the fullness of the Spirit, God didn't let them down. God shows up. The world today wants to look at all the externals. I believe when they judge about how or what or if a person is filled with the Spirit, they begin to look at the externals. How loud does he sing? How loud is the music? Are you standing? Are you sitting? Are you clapping? Are you moving your hips? Some denominations, if you move your hips, oh my goodness, you must be out of the Spirit and not in the Spirit. And you know how I know when the Spirit of God is moving in people's lives? when those that want to stand up and worship God and throw their arms up and say hallelujah, they're able to do it. And nobody condemns them. And then the one that wants to sit quiet and may not be saying a single word is able to do the same thing, and we're all together in one accord. I know the Spirit of God is moving, because God's Spirit is the same, but He will work on us in different ways. Can you say amen to that? Allowing us to freedom to worship, allowing us to be into His presence. All these things are fine, and you're welcome to do whatever you need to do. As the Lord leads you, I say. But you can worship God quietly. You can worship God sitting or standing. You may be on your knees and not moving a single muscle, and it's still called worship. Dr. Jerry Vine says this: the average Christian and the average church are somewhere stuck between Calvary and Pentecost. They have been to Calvary for pardon, but they haven't been to Pentecost for power. The early church was sold out to Christ. They waited and they experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit because they were desiring Him and because they were anticipating Him to show up. The universal church, and if I could change it, I would. The universal church has lost its enthusiasm of the gospel. They have lost seeking the things of God and seeking His power to operate in our lives. We have lost the expectation when we come into a service that God wants to show up. He showed up today. If you cannot accept and experience God today, we would have to check our heart, because God had said something right from the very first note that was played this morning. We forget that this whole church thing was not our idea. We forget that the Lord says, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. If you're seeking God, He will pour out His Spirit. If you're seeking God, He will see you through these hard times. If you're seeking God, He will give you everything that you need. Yes, I'm only a man. You're absolutely right in your testimony. But we can share in those moments. And we can lay these things before God, and we can trust God to do the things that we can't even see yet. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. That's not done today. Do you understand that? It's not over and done with. All the believers were together and had everything in common. What we need to experience as a church and individually is the awe of God. Those awe moments where God does something that you can't even figure it out, because He says, my ways are higher than your ways. D.L. Moody says, you might as well try to hear with no ears or breathe without lungs as to try to live the Christian life without the power of God in your life. 100 years ago, and it still fits. The apostles knew Christ. They walked with Jesus daily. But before Pentecost, they were a scared bunch of ragtag group of people that didn't have any power working in their lives until the Holy Spirit fell on them. The Holy Spirit of God will change your life. Can you say amen to that? We need some lives changed. Sometimes I think that even if God said, I will show up at 1 o'clock, how many would miss lunch for God to show up? How many would say, you know what? I'll take that chance. I'll wait 60 minutes. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit wants to live within our lives to give us the authority to do the things that God called us to do. They waited for God to do something. I believe this was evangelism explosion at its best. It's what we seek after: salvation for our soul, guilt-free living. I love the sign. The joy unspeakable, the victory over sin, the hope that is going to get us home. The Greek word for power is dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. And I believe that we need a little more dynamite in our lives. We need a little more of God in our lives to give us the things that we need. We need to allow him to do these things. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil." I don't see a devil behind every door, but I guarantee we're going to be fought when we start doing kingdom work. And we start pulling people out of hell, and we start seeing God do some amazing things in people's lives, and lives are being changed. You can bet there's going to be resistance. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Jesus promises us to send us the Comforter, and he has. The power of God dwells within us. As a believer, the power of God dwells within us. We are one step from dunamis by allowing God to work in our lives and allowing him to do these things in and sanctifying us and allowing us to be set apart for kingdom work. You know why there should be a difference between you and the world as a believer? Because an unbeliever cannot be filled with the Spirit of God. Do you understand me? The Spirit of God will move towards them. They call it prevenient grace. Will go and minister to their lives, drawing them close to God. And that's why I say salvation is the first step, because after that, God says, "I will empower you to do what I've called you to do." And as a believer, you cannot be filled with the Spirit of God. As a believer, you cannot be sanctified. As a believer, you cannot be set apart unless you're serving God. An unbeliever cannot be set apart for that. For the believer, he is the protector, the encourager, the strength. And I think God has a sense of humor. He even says, when you don't know what to pray, I can pray for you. If you just begin to pray, if you begin to seek my face and you begin to see God do these things that are needed in our lives. The Spirit of God not only gave Jesus the ability to live the sinless life, but empowered him for ministry. And then Jesus said, "Greater things will you do." Now that ought to get some people's stepping today. That ought to get someone excited. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness. Let me close with this illustration. And you'll understand me after you hear the illustration. I'm just old enough to be... My first car didn't have power steering. Some of you younger ones, you don't even have any idea what I'm talking about. Now they have cars that park themselves. I'm telling you, the first car I had no power steering. You pull up to a spot, you stop, and you crank the wheel until you get it where it needs to go, and you go slowly back until you find out if you overturned it or didn't turn it enough. And by the time you got parked, wherever you were going, you were too tired. You thought about getting in the car and just pulling back out. And I'm telling you, that's the difference between the Holy Spirit giving you power and doing it in yourself. Can you say amen to that? I mean, that I can't figure it out any other way, because that's how drastic it is when we're trying to do things on our own. So this morning, I know there's so much going on. And in the words of Jen this morning, don't give up. I believe there's victory. Not only the physical things we're going through, but the spiritual things we're going through. And so many that aren't here because of physical ailments or they can't get here on a regular basis. When I look out, it almost seems like we're having church in shifts. Certain people be here one Sunday, certain people be here next Sunday, with a core that's here. And I'm praying that God would bring it together. Say amen to that. That God would start working in people's lives and that we would be hungry to share God's word, hungry to give our testimony. Jen's not the only one that has a testimony. We have a testimony of what God is doing and the world needs to hear it. And just in case you don't think you have the strength to do it, ask God to give you the strength to do it. Amen? Father, I thank you. And I realize it's getting late, and this sermon could have turned over 2-3 more times, and your awe and your power and your strength and your ability to minister to us, and the powerful testimonies and Becky being prayed for this morning, we're trusting that you do with a healing there, Lord God, and trusting for each one. God, may there be a testimony on our lips. We claim victory in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask for a hedge of protection by the blood of Jesus Christ covering our lives. May you accomplish all that you want to accomplish in our lives. We give you permission. We give you honor and praise. We will lift up the name of Jesus. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives us strength. We need to start standing on these promises that God gives us, that we could see these victories. In Jesus' name, amen.